You realize if you don't do 100%, he doesn't add to it. And I've realized that in life. You realize that probably with your conversion as well, that if God starts doing things for you, you start quitting. Okay, I got the same thing I said last time. God, it's your turn. Howard. God pulls you forward by not telling you where he steps in. So that if you run a little faster, a little farther, you get through a trial that you didn't think you'd get through, you don't know where God stepped in. All you know is that, hey, I got through this last time, I can get through it again. And so by getting through it each time, you are progressed. If God said, well, actually, you failed this trial about three-quarters of the way through it at this point, where would you stop the next time? Because he'd say, well, you failed, but I stepped in there and did the last quarter. Next time, when you got three-quarters of the way through it, you'd say, okay, God, where are you? It's your turn. But when he doesn't tell you that, the next time you think, man, I did this last time, I guess I can do it again. So now you progress a little farther. A little farther. Kind of like my son, the story I tell about him, that he was out, this was a couple, 3 years ago, and he was smaller. I cut some logs up, and he was trying to move a log that was well beyond his weight capability, weighed more than he did. And he was pushing it because I taught him about the little train that thought it could. And so my son thought he could, and all of you probably read that story, and you realize that not everything you think you can do. But he believed he could move this log, and he couldn't. And so I went down there just to help him. I didn't want to discourage him, so I went down there and encouraged him on to help move it without him knowing it. And he, boy, that was really great. Hey, I did it. I'm so wonderful and strong and, oh, yeah, muscles, you know, which, of course, kids have skating alarms. But it was funny because it was over and it was done. I thought he was proud of himself, and I think I can. So he learned a real valuable lesson here, to keep trying, perseverance and diligence. Well, that was wonderful until that afternoon when I looked out the window and saw my mother trying to push it again. And he was sweating and pushing, and his face was all red, and he couldn't move the stupid thing. And, I knew I did it this morning, so I can move it again now. Because if I did it then, I can do it now. And he just sat there all day trying to move that crazy log. And so I started realizing that I better do something because he's going to get discouraged with this and think I can't rather than I can. And so I went down there and did the same trick to him again. And then I cut up the log. But he thought he could do it. And that's kind of the way God works with us. You know, he helps us, and so, oh, I know I did that before, I can do it again. So we grow, we persevere, and we progress a little farther. And the next test we get is a little bigger log, and we try things a little farther along that line. But yet, each of us individually has to grow at our own pace. We're each tried individually at our own level. We each have different backgrounds and experiences now that we didn't have 10 years ago. We've learned to face courageously. And perhaps you don't feel like you have much courage sometimes, but yet you do. And you face those things at a time in your life when it's difficult, perhaps alone. Now we have a comfort of a group to meet with and fellowship with, which is nice and enjoyable and wonderful to have support. But yet each of us has had to decide ourselves. You don't feel comfortable because I'm in the United Church of God Corporation. No, you're not. Because of the true church of the corporation, we all thought the Worldwide Church of God was the true corporation, quote unquote. And so therefore, how can we leave? We felt comfortable there. We were complacent. I don't feel comfortable because I'm with the United Church of God any more than I would with Global Church of God or Church of God International or Worldwide Church of God or the Baptists or anybody. I only feel comfortable because I know what this book says. I've proved it for myself. And I know that I have to do what it says. And if there's other people who want to, I thank God for them. And if there's not, I'll do it alone. I don't have that choice. Doesn't mean I don't fellowship with other people. Doesn't mean I can't talk to other people. We never have been isolationists, as much as people like to say we never helped anybody else. We've helped a lot of people in the past that were not members of the church, quote unquote. Because Christ, everybody that Christ helped wasn't a member of the church. Because there was no church when he was here. So it's a matter of mankind. Where did we go wrong? Where did things happen? I'll turn back, and actually I intended to start my sermon with this, but I didn't. But because I had some other things, and I kind of left my notes rather blank to be able to discuss different things as they came. But where Mr. Armstrong was so often, back in Genesis 2, instead of beginning with that, I guess I'll end with it and continue on later with other things at a different time. God planted a garden in Eden, and he put the man whom he informed there. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The two trees, which in some ways we got tired of, because if Armstrong would say you don't get it, well, what is there not to get about two trees? The good tree and the bad tree. And I think we kind of saw it that way. The tree of life, the tree of death. I think to continue that thing, one thing I have learned now from those two trees is that the one tree is the tree of life. It's the tree of the knowledge of God. It's the tree of a lot of things. But the other tree is the knowledge of good and evil. And what I have learned, because part of the problem with what has happened with Mr. Dukakis and others, is the fact that they began to look at quote-unquote good people and say, well, those people have to be Christians because they're good people. And you can only be good because of God. There's only one name you can be saved by, Jesus Christ. And so these people are good, and therefore they have to be Christians. Therefore, we can't be alone. Therefore, we've got to be wrong with everything we thought before. And yes, Mr. Armstrong is a wonderful person, but everything he believed is wrong. Of course, except church government. Got to throw that in there. And I began to look at the two trees again from the standpoint of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because I have met some very, very, very good Buddhists and some very, very, very good Muslims and some very, very, very good Hindus and Shinto and whatever religion you want to name. And they're very good. Sawat Yingyai, who worked for us, Thai person, Buddhist. He put flowers on Mr. Armstrong's grave every week without fail till he was killed in a car accident in Thailand. Everything Mr. Armstrong said, he believed it. Even though he's still a Buddhist, Mr. Armstrong said it's going to happen. But what is it that God did at those two trees? Did he desert mankind when he closed off the garden? It wasn't the tree of evil alone from the standpoint of mankind didn't go around killing everybody. We're still here. God didn't desert them in the sense that mankind, with the human spirit, was able to give and develop a set of code and ethics and laws that allowed for society. Why is it that every religion, every people on earth has somewhat of the same basic moral code? Don't kill people. Don't do this. Don't do that. Because without God, you can set up those codes. And if you live by those particular codes, you are a good person. You're a good neighbor. I'd love having a good Buddhist neighbor if I had one, because they're going to not steal from me. They're not going to kill me. They're not going to commit adultery with my wife. They're not going to do all these things that are part of their code, which they made without God's Spirit, without the name of Jesus Christ, without the name of God, because that's the moral code that you're allowed to create off of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if I look at those trees, and I've thought about them over the last few years so much, and realize, yes, some of these people are very good. But even mother love, as good as it is even, you look at a mother and a child, it's selfish. And if I look at the two trees now, I see the fact that the tree of life really is total, unselfish love. Giving totally for the sake of giving. Giving as Christ did. He gave everything, devoted himself of his power he had before with God to come down and be human, to die for you and to die for me. That's total unselfish giving. That's the tree of life. And yes, if you live off the tree of life, you are very good in the way you act, your moral codes and things. But it doesn't mean someone without the tree of life can't look very good, because if they follow the moral teachings of whatever their religion is, they can look very good. Very good. We tend to look, I think, at the second tree as a tree of evil. And in the long run, it is evil, because when you look at selfish love, it's an evil thing, and it's better than no love at all. But in reality, what is selfish love? Well, you're doing it because if I don't kill you, you don't kill me. If I don't steal from you, you don't steal from me. You know, it's a different basis. And I think the church got confused, or some people who were associated started beginning to think that they have to be Christian because they're good. And no, I think you can be good off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Good to a human extent. And just as you can have some very, very evil people off of that tree, your Hitlers and your Genghis Khans and your people throughout history and your Cains, you can have people that are very good off that tree. But it's not eternal life. It's not the tree of life, and it's not unselfish good. When those people do have God's Spirit and do understand the truth, I think it'll be very easy for them to change, the Mother Teresa of this world, the Muellers, the people like that. But at the same time, God is the one who decides. God is the one who judged. God is the one who gave us that. God didn't desert us at that time in the Garden of Eden. And he still hasn't deserted us till today. But he's tested us individually. He's making us understand what it is we have to believe. He's purifying his bride as only he can do it. And that is something that we should be thankful for. Something that we should know and understand and be aware of. And then no matter what the test is in the future, and you can pray as I do now that this has been your test and not your preparation for one, because it has been tough for you. It has been tough for me. And each of us has had to make difficult choices. And unfortunately, it probably won't get easier. But the reward is worth it. And what we have to look forward to is very, very special. And each of us can be thankful for that. Never did get around to what these books were up here for. Well, I guess I can close if you'll give me one more minute. I brought these books up here because these are Mr. Armstrong's books. I went through about 20 boxes that I had in the convention center from my move to Texas that I never opened. And I found some Bibles of his that are very big types. Some of you can probably read it from out there. And I don't need these yet. In fact, I hope I'm a few years away for them. But I'm going to give this to Mr. Haver so that he can give it to someone out there who needs to have the Bible in three volumes, which is what this is. There's two Old Testament and one New Testament, and they're very big type. So I'm going to give those to him, and you can all go in and try to see if you can qualify. Bring it to, I guess we can check magnifying glass power, see who qualifies for these. Mr. Armstrong told me one of the things I did the last few months of his life is I read incessantly to him in the dark. That's why I lost my eyesight. I went in that 6 months, 2020, and came out 2400. Hard to see. But I was reading in the dark, and he said the thing he missed more than anything was reading this book. So he'd make up excuses for me to read the book to him, such as, Christ said something to someone somewhere. Can you find it for me? Well, you know, you need a little more than that in a concordance to find it. So I read the whole of the Gospels. And then he said, well, maybe Paul said it. So I read all of Paul's writings. Maybe Peter said it. So I read Peter and James and never finished the book, you know, so we did the whole New Testament. But I thought someone in the congregation here might be able to use these, and so I brought them in to be given. And I hope that you also will be able to read the book and understand it and learn from it and grow as you do. And he shows you things and leads your life in the direction that you need to go. But I appreciate being able to speak to you and hope to do it again sometime soon and that we can encourage one another as we go through life and know that God is there and have that simple faith that's required to know that he is in charge no matter what the trauma is. He's always there.